The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. We are going to be giving away a family four-pack of tickets to go see the River Dogs play coming up in just a little bit. It's any 2017 home game at the Joe. You don't want to miss out on that. It's always so much fun to get together and watch the folks out there with the River Dogs play. And I didn't realize this. Dave Eccles, which is the general manager of the River Dogs, everybody's saying he looks like Sean Spicer. Yeah, he does. You know, you did look at the pictures side by side and you go, yeah, definitely. He could certainly be a Sean Spicer impersonator. So I don't know if Dave would be all that excited about that. He's a great guy out there with the River Dogs. All right, I've been doing this radio thing for 30 years now. 30 years I've been doing this. And I've had the opportunity to do a lot of things in my career. I mean, I've more concerts than I care to remember, been backstage more times than I care to remember, met more celebrities and politicians and performers, been able to do so many different things in my career. I've been interviewed by every major network, BBC, all the big dogs, except for Fox News, ironically. Haven't been interviewed by them. I've spent the weekend at Garth Brooks Ranch. I've been backstage and on stage with Kenny Chesney. Just so many different things. So it takes a lot to get me excited when something happens. Well, yesterday was one of those days. I was like, oh, how cool is that? And again, it takes a lot for me to, you know, really get excited about stuff. Let's take you back to yesterday. Second hour of the Chris Plant Show. Here we go.
Free ramen noodles for China. They will march for anything. And most of them there, they don't even know why they're there. It's kind of amazing. But when I was leaving, I was texting with a friend who's in the radio business in Charleston, texting back and forth, and said as I was leaving, the rancid stench of confusion still hung in the air.
That was me. That's me who he was texting back and forth with from Washington, D.C. So I got a little excited about that yesterday. I was like, Chris, what are you doing? Hey, Chris Plant talked about me on his nationally syndicated radio show. That was exciting for me. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up next, Mayor John Tecklenburg is saying that the city of Charleston is going to stay with the Paris Accord. What exactly does that mean?
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Yesterday in a press conference, Charleston Mayor John Tecklenburg got together with some folks holding up some cute little signs saying, we are still in. That's right. We are, according to the mayor of Charleston, we are still in the Paris Climate Agreement. Yeah, that's right. I don't know what they're going to be doing. But John Tecklenburg, Columbia Mayor Steve Benjamin, Anderson Mayor Terrence Roberts signed an agreement that supports the ambitious goals to reduce greenhouse gas emissions here in the United States. Now, Harris Bastides, president of the University of South Carolina, Elizabeth Davis from Furman University, they also signed their name to this to the support of this agreement, the landmark agreement. This isn't a landmark agreement. This Paris Accord does absolutely zero. In fact, it does 0.02 of nothing. So South Carolina, they say, now there's a lot of talk about the coast, but let me just read to you what this website, wearestillin.com, says. It's an open letter to the international community and parties to the Paris Agreement from the United States local and business leaders. We, the undersigned mayors, governors, college and university leaders, businesses and investors, are joining forces for the first time to declare that we will continue to support the climate actions to meet the Paris Agreement. In December 2015, blah, 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 the Trump administration's announcements undermines a key pillar in the fight against climate change and damages the world's and damages the world's ability to avoid the most dangerous and costly effects of climate change. Importantly, it is also out of step with what is happening in the United States. It is the U.S., its local and state governments, along with businesses that are primarily responsible for the dramatic decrease in greenhouse gas emissions in recent years. Actions by each group will multiply and accelerate in the years ahead, no matter what policies Washington may adopt. Hey, guess what? Okay, great. Good for you. That's awesome. Go for it. But what more are you going to do as the mayor of Charleston and the mayor of Columbia? What are you going to do to help out? Well, let me ask you something. What are you going to do? Actually, what are you going to do to help reduce CO2 emissions? Other than regulate, what are you going to do? Are you going to regulate the cruise ship industry? Are you going to do that? Are you going to regulate the cars in your community? Hey, are you going to regulate, I don't know, stuff like building new hotels? Are you going to regulate new communities popping up? What exactly are you going to do? This is all symbolic BS. That's all it is. That's all it is. Let's go to Elise, Johns Island. Elise, how are you?
Good morning. You're making a lot of valid, good points, which I'm excited about. I wish people would read. Please read stuff before you go and protest and raise your arms up in solidarity. I mean, come on. Give me a break, people. Yeah, this was a bad deal for the United States.
Right.
Yes, I agree. There are some good things that were in it that need to be changed. But until we start at the state, until we start changing some things, I'm sorry, where are my windmills? Where are the windmills off our coast? I could care less what they look like. They're not that bad. I've been to Europe. I've seen them. I've heard them. Get over it.
But how much, really, I mean, how cost effective, Elise, is wind power?
It is to a point, but I found out the other night, I was talking to somebody who lived over in England for a long time. She said the problem with them is that they have to be so close to where the power is going.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't know that. So that was real interesting. So I don't really know how cost effective they are. But you know, the thing is that nobody's putting up any ideas here.
Exactly. The technology has not caught up with what they perceive as the need for these renewable resources. I mean, if you look at it dollar for dollar, solar and wind power are more expensive than coal. And of course, the world is going to agree with the United States footing the bill for all of this.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, but yeah, if somebody's gonna pay for me to go and get a tummy tuck and a lift here and a lift there, yeah, man, I'm gonna get that done.
Yeah,
of course.
As long as somebody else is paying for it. Now, the United States, at least right now, the United States is leading the world in the reduction of carbon emissions. We are the world leaders in reducing carbon, but yet they still want us to foot the bill. I mean, China. They've increased theirs. India has increased theirs. All of Asia and India and all of that, they haven't done what the United States has done as far as decreasing greenhouse gases, but yet we get to foot the bill.
And I find that interesting that we're the villains in all this, and we're the ones splitting the bill. We're the ones that have changed a lot. And, you know, and what a lot of people don't realize is that it's only been like in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Indian with the tear coming down?
Right, yeah.
It's only been since the 70s that we have pushed for cleaner environment. And so you have to look at what Europe has done. They are so far ahead of us in so many different ways that you can't compare certain things to them. And that's one of them because, you know, my friend was like, because people take out their trash and it's just one little bag.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I get that. But your country is also thousands of years older than ours.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at least
been through those growing pains.
Yeah, I don't see where they always make. I appreciate it. They always want to make us to be the bad guy. When we're not, we're footing the bill on this. We've reduced our carbon emissions, I mean, dramatically. China has increased more. They've increased twice the amount that we have decreased. India is up. Japan is down. South Korea is up. Asia and Oceania, they're up 7.5%. So they're up as much as we are down in carbon emissions. But they want us to foot the bill? I think somebody else needs to be paying that.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 7:40, 20 minutes until 8 o'clock on The Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. And I'll tell you what I got for you right now. I got a family four-pack of tickets to the River Dogs. This is any 2017 home game at the Joe. I will take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. Caller number 7, going to pick up this family four-pack of tickets to go see the River Dogs play out at the Joe. So if you want these, go ahead and pick up that phone. Look at those phones light up this morning. Let's go ahead and scroll through and get to caller number 7 just as quickly as we possibly can so we can get you out there to see the River Dogs play at the Joe. That's a lot of fun. It really is. They do such a great job. And like I said, Dave Eccles is kind of getting a little bit of a ribbing this morning because he looks like Sean Spicer. Let's go to the phones and say, hey, who's this?
This is Josh.
Josh, how are you on this Tuesday morning, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Josh, congratulations. You just picked yourself up 4 tickets to see the River Dogs.
Fantastic.
Man, you enjoy that and get out there and enjoy those hot dogs and all that great food out there and all the festivities. Josh is going to put you on hold. And John Quincy is going to get some information from you so you can get out there and check out the River Dogs. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. So yesterday we started hearing about this woman, Reality Winter. Reality Winner. Yes, yes, yes. She is a 25-year-old from Augusta, Georgia. Oh, my hometown of Augusta, Georgia. She's a 25-year-old federal contract worker. She's facing federal charges for leaking classified materials to the media. This is according to the Department of Justice. She was arrested by the FBI on June 3rd and appeared in federal court on June 5th. She is still in federal custody, pending a hearing coming up in a couple of days on June the 8th. She was charged with gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information that could have been damaging to the United States. Now, she's accused of taking a top secret National Security Agency document, copying it, and then mailing it to a news organization that they believe is The Intercept. This is according to NBC News. The Intercept published an intelligence document back on June 5th, the same day that Reality Winner, what a name, appeared in court. That's in line with what it is said in the criminal complaint. The report details about Russian efforts to hack voting systems in the United States about a week before the 2016 presidential election. Now, the document said that it raises the possibility that Russian hacking may have breached at least some elements of the voting system with disconcertingly uncertain results. So they don't even, they have no idea if this did anything whatsoever. Now, Winner's attorney said that she is looking forward to putting this behind her. So here's what we know. She served in the Air Force, has made several anti-Trump comments on social media. Well, you can certainly imagine that. She was an employee of Pluribus International based out of Alexandria, Virginia. She was assigned to a government agency in Georgia. I believe I looked this up online, and from what I can see, Pluribus is actually at Fort Gordon, Georgia, which is a military base there that really houses the Corps of Engineers there in Augusta. They're an analytical and engineering service that provides its service to federal defense, security, and intelligence communities on a contract basis. They've got 22 locations. One of them, like I said, is located out of Fort Gordon. Winner was not one to shy away from giving her opinions on politics. Just a day before the 2016 presidential election, she made a Facebook post saying, on a positive note, this Tuesday, when we become the United States of Russian Federation, Olympic lifting will be the national sport. So, all right. So, her mother, Billie Winter Davis, said that she has expressed to me that she is not a fan of Trump, but she's not someone who would go and riot or picket. What else has she said there? Anyway, she's posted a lot of things on Twitter. It also looks like she created a Twitter account under the handle Sarah Winters to comment on a lot of things from the Dakota Access Pipeline all the way to politics. So she is going to hopefully she'll be doing a long, long stretch in jail. And, of course, they've got to just go ahead and take that security clearance right away from her post haste, don't you think? So we'll certainly keep up with this morning. But surprisingly, young lady from Augusta, Georgia, young woman from Augusta, Georgia, arrested for leaking classified materials. We got a serious problem in this country, and it's not with Russian hacking. It's with people inside of our security systems and our security agencies that are leaking classified information. And that's one thing that, you know, everybody is talking about this leak, and I see all the major media networks, they're talking about what's in this document. They're not talking about the fact that this woman was able to do that. The same way they're not talking about how Michael Flynn got caught up in surveillance and his name was unmasked. They're not talking all that much about Lindsey Graham saying that there's a possibility that he was unmasked by Susan Rice and the folks at the Department of the security agencies. They're not talking about that, which is exactly what they should be talking about.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
There's been another incident between the folks in the African-American community in North Charleston and a convenience store clerk. A clerk at a store over there has been charged with assault after police said he kicked a 12-year-old boy inside the business last Friday. Azmi Abdulrahman, I'm sure I mispronounced that, 19 years old of Ranger Drive in North Charleston, charged with third-degree assault and battery. Now, the alleged incident happened Friday afternoon inside the Uncle Sam Mart there on Sproul Avenue. The store clerk told police that this young boy began taunting him while he recorded the clerk on the cell phone, according to the incident report. That's when the clerk kicked 12-year-old Draquan Washington in the ankle. Now, we all remember, well, this is what Elder Johnson had to say about that.
These stores that lands within the poor community have to realize that we are nations of laws. They cannot be the judge and the jury, especially a 12-year-old boy. And we hope that authority look at this case here and prosecute whoever, the young man that touched this 12-year-old boy, prosecute him to the fullest.
All right, so that was Elder James Johnson, the state president of the National Action Network. They got together, started doing some protest. We remember this because of what happened back in March with Andrew's Discount Mart, where employees were shown in the video hitting an African-American shoplifting suspect with a sword. This is what Elder Johnson had to say in that incident.
We are not going to allow that Sharia law here in America. We are a country of laws. The police should have been called. We're not going to allow foreigners coming in this country treating people like this. And the 10-mile radius, we have 34 Arabs or foreign stores within our community.
Yeah, I just knew he was going to say Arab. I just knew it. When I heard the story, I knew he was going to say Arab. So then, let me ask you something, Elder Johnson and all the folks with the National Action Network. What is then the problem with President Donald Trump trying to halt immigration into this country? You know, we're a nation of laws. There you go. Elder Johnson said it right there. We're a nation of laws. So why can't we simply enforce our immigration laws here in this country? Why can't we do that? Why are we only a nation of laws when it affects your community? Why then? He said, if we don't get on top of this, somebody's going to get killed. This is too much and too quick. When you start hurting kids, that's not good. The young man's mother, DeJaris Porcher Washington, said Monday that her son sprained and bruised his left ankle. She also said Draquan was simply using his phone to show. I gotta figure out how to pronounce this guy's name, Abdelrahman, photos on the internet of what he was trying to buy. Washington and police both said that Abdelrahman had difficulty understanding what the young man was saying. He couldn't be immediately reached for comment. So nobody's commenting on this. It's amazing to me that all of a sudden we're a nation of laws, Elder Johnson. How many homicides have we had this year over in North Charleston? How many homicides? How much black-on-black crime have we had in North Charleston this year? It's been substantial. So why isn't why don't we have these press conferences every time a mother loses a child in North Charleston? Why don't we have these press conferences? Why don't we see Elder Johnson and the National Action Network standing up when the folks in their community are committing crimes against other folks in their community? Why is it only when someone from outside, and we'll use that in air quotes, someone outside their community affects them? Why isn't Elder Johnson giving all of these press conferences then? Why are they screaming about that? Now, I agree. This store clerk shouldn't have kicked the kid. Period. Back in March, they shouldn't have been hitting this guy with a sword. A sword they were hitting the guy with. I don't know if he got cut or if it was a ceremonial sword, if it even had an edge on it or what. However, that should not be done. You should let the police, you should call the police, and the police should take care of the situation. But why aren't they addressing the main problem? So how many times do we see a store clerk kicking a 12-year-old boy? In my recollection, first time. First time I've heard about this happening. First time I heard about someone attacking an alleged shoplifter with a sword. And they hold these press conferences. But yeah, has it just become routine? Does it not grab the headlines or anything like that? We'll talk about this more coming up next.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 11 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. JD's been holding out in Bono. Good morning, JD. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Charlie. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Listen, on these two incidences that you mentioned,
right.
I'm not one to rush to judgment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear all the facts come out. In the first incident where the boy was kicked in the ankle,
right?
You began the story by saying that he was taunting the store clerk, and the mother, and we ended up with the mother saying, well, he was just trying to show the store clerk something he wanted to buy.
Right.
I want to know if the police have confiscated that phone to determine whether or not to corroborate the boy's story, number one. Number two, if the boy is taunting the store clerk, there's a level of assault there. So the boy could be completely wrong. There was a time, I'm 53 years old, there was mm-hmm. a time in our country when I was growing up, and I was 12 years old. If I walked into a convenience store and I began taunting the store clerk, then the store clerk, turned me over his knee and whipped my butt. When I got home, my mama was going to whip my butt.
Yeah, she was going to go after you. Exactly right.
So there's something wrong in this incident. And the second incident was the individual was shoplifting. Now, a business owner has a right to defend his property and his business.
Yeah.
And if somebody's shoplifting and he stops them with a sword, hitting them with the sword, if he hit them with the flat of the sword, it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter. He has a right to defend his business and his property from would-be thieves. Those are laws in our country, and we are a nation of laws. I remember before the Michael Schlager thing, before the Ferguson thing took place, there was an incident in downtown Charleston where a young black man was, I think it was a 16 or 17-year-old kid, was standing in front of an apartment complex with a handgun, and he was acting strangely, and people called the police.
Right, well, right. I remember that.
Police officer came up. It turns out the boy was suicidal. There was a struggle over the gun. The child was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Jackson came into town with the Rainbow Coalition and was going to go ahead and start pursuing everything really, really hard and try to nail this police officer to the wall. And then they found out that the police officer was black. And
right.
then they found out that the child was suicidal. And then they found out that the police officer.
And then all of a sudden, it was nothing to see here. Let's move on.
Right, and they went to another. Yeah. They waited for something else to happen. So I'm wondering what the underlying agenda is by this particular group. And I'm wondering about the character of these mothers and whether or not these children already have some kind of thing on their rap sheet, because what we're dealing with here in these two incidences, when we're talking about a shoplifter and when we're talking about a child that has assaulted a store clerk, we're talking about criminal activity by the individuals, and mom is coming out saying, oh, well, we can't do this and we can't do that. How dare you do this to my...
Right, yeah. And I guess the question is, J.D., what extent can you go to defend your property or your business?
Well, I think we need to wait for the facts to come out before we start yelling about these two parts. And let's face it, we're dealing with foreigners that are in a primarily black community.
Mm-hmm.
Is the community trying to run these individuals out because they don't want them there?
But who's going to take on? I mean, again, we've got these two businesses, and like you said, in a primarily African-American community. Who else is going to open a store there?
Aren't
they performing some type of community service?
At the same time, nobody else did. And last time I checked, if a property's up for sale in our country, you have the freedom to purchase that property.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they've got every right to be there. Every right to be there. JD, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much, buddy. But how far can you go? All right. There's a lot. There's a lot to these stories that we don't know yet. We don't know if the kid was taunting the store clerk. We don't know. There's just so much that we do not know. I don't even know. Is there video of the clerk kicking the kid? Do we have actual evidence that the clerk kicked the kid? Other than the injuries, we don't know if the clerk was the one to do this or not. But how far can a store owner go to protect his property and his store? Can you defend it at the end of a sword? Can you hold someone? Now, I know if you're caught shoplifting, like in Walmart, don't they take you back to the manager? Doesn't the security guard take you back to the manager, or what rights do they have as far as their what we will call inventory control? That's the big fancy word for it now, inventory control. So, but again, the question is, why is the National Action Network so upset about this when so much more? I mean, a 12-year-old kid got kicked. That's a bad thing. All right, granted. But we've got homicides going on in North Charleston that, I mean, we're like, oh, well, it's like we're not even surprised when it happens anymore.
1250 WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
I'm Rumors. 23 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. You Monday Night Football fans have got something to look forward to, I guess. Hank Jr. is going to be back singing the opening credits to Monday Night Football. Now, he was fired a while back. He was released because why? What did he do? What did he do that was so heinous and horrible and evil and awful that he got fired? Well, he compared Obama to Adolf Hitler. That's what? Wow. Doesn't even seem like that's a big deal anymore, does it? To compare a president to Hitler, I think that's okay to do now these days, right? I mean, it happens every single day on Twitter with folks. No, that's right. You can hold up the severed head of the president of the United States and you'll be fine. You'll be fine, according to the left. Now, you can also go on your show and use the N-word and not be fired.
Wow. I got to get to Nebraska more.
You're welcome. We'd love to have you work in the fields with us.
Work in the fields?
That's part of that. That's...
Senator, I'm a house...
No, yeah. There you go.
It's a joke.
That was Bill Maher on with Senator Ben Sasse on his real-time show and use the N-word. He's not going to get fired. He's not going to get it. No. He's going to keep his job at HBO. They're not even going to pull him off the air. They're not even going to sit him down for a couple of days and say, you know what, Bill, why don't you think about what you said and then come back, write us an essay, and tell us. You're not going to have to go through any sensitivity training. You're not going to have to go through any multicultural training or anything like that. You just keep doing what you're doing because we're completely okay with you. He is going to return for the next episode of Real Time this Friday, keep his job with the network that has been confirmed by HBO. Of course, we all remember he made that offensive comment during an interview with Ben Sasse, like I said, after he was invited to come to Nebraska and work in the field. So, but that's fine. That's fine. Meanwhile, said it was removing. Here's what they are doing. Here's what HBO is doing. They're not removing Bill Maher. They're not, like I said, they're not suspending him, anything like that. But what they're going to do is they're going to go back and edit out that comment from any future showings of Real Time with Bill Maher. That's right. That's how they're going to do it. They're just going to completely pretend like it never even happened. Now, somebody out there is actually taking a stand, and surprisingly, it's Al Franken. He says that what Bill Maher said was inappropriate and offensive, and he made the decision not to appear on the next episode of Real Time. A representative for Senator Franken said that he was glad to see Bill, who the senator considers a good friend, apologize and express sincere regret for his comment. Yes, sincere regret. See, if you're a good little liberal, then you can apologize and all is forgiven. Well, that's, you know, everything is fine. But if you are a conservative, no. You got to pay for it with your career. You got to pay for it with your life, pretty much, according to the folks there on the left. So, looks like the president of the United States of America and the mayor of London probably aren't going to be exchanging Christmas gifts this year. Doggone it. Well, I know. Sadiq Khan, he's Muslim. He probably doesn't do Christmas, right? President Trump and the mayor of London's war on words continued. They've been trading barbs back and forth. Speaking on UK's Channel 4 News, London Mayor Sadiq Khan said that he thinks that a planned state visit to the UK from Donald Trump should be called off. He said, I don't think we should roll out the red carpet to the president of the USA in the circumstances where his policies go against everything we stand for. What policies might those be, sir? The policies against terrorism? Maybe they're the families of six people over there in England there that got killed on the attack on Saturday night, maybe they're okay with the president's policies. Maybe the people that lost their lives, the 22 people that were killed in the bombing in Manchester, maybe they agree with the president's policies. Maybe they do. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you heard about this. The guy, one of the guys that carried out the attack Saturday night, the one of the London Bridge attackers, they had him, and they let him go.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 8:39, 21 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Let's go out to Lanson and talk to Stephanie. Stephanie, you had a little bit of a problem or a big problem with your debit card over the weekend. What's up?
Yes, I did. We went to BJ's when they opened on Saturday morning and so excited about getting there.
Right.
And the parking was crazy. People were parking at Walmart walking over there.
Mm-hmm.
So they had long, long lines. And we waited in line, and we went home right after that. And about 5:24 Saturday evening, we got a call saying that it was a recording saying we had unusual activity on our debit card.
Right.
And come to find out, $483 was withdrawn then. And Saturday morning at 8:08, $483 was withdrawn then as well.
Yeah.
And when we went to the bank yesterday morning, there was probably about 10, 12, maybe a little more other people while we first got there. Same thing happened to them. And they all came to the conclusion that we were all BJ members and we were at BJ's. That's the only place that we had gone.
So you guys all got together there at the bank, had a little confab, and found out amongst yourselves that all of you guys had visited BJ's on Friday.
Right. No, Saturday.
On Saturday.
Saturday morning when they opened.
So that didn't take long.
We had no, and they were working fast because we left there about 12:30, quarter to one, and I got a call at 5:24, and the money was withdrawn at 5:22.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, and everybody else's was withdrawn in Somerville. There were five withdrawals on Ashley Phosphate, you know, and mine was down at College of Charleston.
Oh, okay.
Wells Fargo Bank at College of Charleston. So there was another $2.50 fee because it wasn't my bank.
Right. Yeah.
So they're going to refund it, but we had to go to Somerville PD was up at the bank yesterday. I don't know if they hang out there or if he was there because they called him, but mm-hmm. he told us that even though we live in Lanson and the theft happened downtown Charleston, it was not their jurisdiction. So we they said Charleston County. We went to Charleston County, not their jurisdiction. They sent us to Charleston City, not their jurisdiction. We went to the safety office at College of Charleston. They took a report. Before we got home, there was a message saying it's not our jurisdiction, it's PD's, because that's where it happened. The ID theft occurred in Somerville, and the theft occurred downtown. So back to Somerville PD this morning.
Right. So hopefully you'll find something out there. And Stephanie, I appreciate you letting us know about that. Thank you very much. So if
I just want him found and executed.
And
that was a lot of trouble, a lot of hassle.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if it's not an execution charge, it should be.
I tell you what, Stephanie, I appreciate it. I tell you what, these folks out there that are that do stuff like this, I mean, they're gutless cowards. They really are. They scam and I don't know how they do it. Of course, always make sure that, you know, your PIN is covered. I know you look like a dork when you do it. But, you know, Clark Howard tells us here just about every day, put your hand over that keypad when you're pushing in your buttons. And I always kind of act like I'm pushing a couple of extra ones there, trying to get my PIN number there. Always make sure, especially if you go to like a gas station, always make sure that card reader does not budge from that. But even then, these folks have a way of getting it. I remember I went to I was down in Jacksonville getting ready for the Georgia-Florida game one year. Went into a little restaurant there, and later on that afternoon, boom, my account had been hacked into. So, and my card, the weird thing was, my card never even left my wallet. So I'm not sure, really. I mean, the technology that they use, it's like they are just as updated on the technology as anybody else. If these people would just use that energy to get a real job instead of being on the wrong side of the law, there's no telling how far they can go. If they keep doing this on the wrong side of the law, we know exactly how far they're going to go. They're going to go straight to the who's gal. They're going to get three hots in a cot for a while, hopefully. And but again, we don't know if it she said that she had polled several people there at the bank and they all said they went to BJ. So you guys definitely check your accounts.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
All right. One of the London Bridge attackers. They had him. They had him. Not only did they have him, he was the star, quote unquote, of a documentary. That's right. That's right. Documentary there on in one of the BBC channels over in London. Karam Butt appeared on a television documentary last year about British extremists called The Jihadis Next Door. Oh, that sounds like a sitcom, doesn't it? And now, The Jihadis Next Door. The wacky story about... Well, The Jihadis Next Door was filmed at events attended by two notorious Islamic preachers. The terrorist had previously worked for London Transport Opera... Oh, my gosh. These terrorists worked for London Transport Operator Transport for London and a branch of fast food chains called Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, KFC, according to their neighbors. One of the relatives told how this Butt had previously tried to go to Syria to fight jihad, but had been talked out of it by his family and his wife, who was pregnant at the time. They did a year-long undercover documentary that aired last January. Butt was filmed attending one event alongside Mohammed Shamsuddin, who was warned that Syria is coming to, who warned people that Syria was coming to Sharia, sorry, that Sharia was coming to the UK and that the black flag of Islam will fly over Downing Street. Shamsuddin said that his views were molded by the hate preacher Omar Bakari, the Ayatollah who is now in jail in Lebanon for supporting terrorism. Shamsuddin was arrested on terror charges back in 2014 on suspicion of encouraging terrorism and being a member of the Al-Muhajirun, an extreme radical Islamist organization. What is he still doing in England? Why was he not in jail? I just don't get this. They openly supported Al-Qaeda. They sent men out to fight in Syria. This group was said to have influenced the murders of drummer Lee Rigby, but who was also seen with Abu Halima, was accused of radicalizing a British schoolboy who was convicted over a plot to behead police officers during a parade in Australia. Shamsuddin was filmed praying with a group of followers, including one of the London Bridge attackers, in London's Regent Park under the black flag of Islam. Shamsuddin told his followers, Sharia's coming to the UK. The black flag you see here today is going to be on number 10 Downing Street. The two men were later filmed in a confrontation with police who had received a tip-off about the flag and were detained for an hour, but the flag was not discovered. Shamsuddin later told the filmmakers, our message is deadly. We are calling for world domination and Sharia law for the UK. After they criticized British foreign policies and treatment of Muslims, he added, what's going to happen? You're going to face a backlash in this country. If you're going to suppress and suppress, I mean, it's like a tinderbox. It's going to explode. They got that wrong. They got that kind of mixed up. That's that warped ideology that a lot of these folks in the Islam, the extreme Islam community have, is that because we are against radical Islam, then radical Islam has to fight back. Because we don't want you blowing people up, and we kill people that blow people up, then they're going to blow up more people? All they have to do is just stop the violence. That's it. You know, we talk about the folks over in Palestine and the Israelis. Hey, what did the prime minister over there in Israel say? We can stop this immediately. All you got to do is stop bombing people. And this is over. They're not bombing people just for the hell of it. They're trying to stop people from blowing up buses and flying planes into buildings and all of that. But they see themselves as being oppressed in some way. And all of this is happening on a grand scale in this country. I don't see how much longer are the people of Europe going to take this. I mean, this is the same Europe. The same Europe that on this day in 1944, the liberation of Europe began. This is D-Day. This is the day that Allied forces, the United States, Great Britain, and Canada started storming the beaches of Normandy to stop the Third Reich from total world domination. It was that generation that did it. It was the activities of this day that changed and freed this world from the grip of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. This is the day that it happened. Looking on my monitors right now, nothing about it on CNN. Nothing about it on NBC. Nothing about it on PBS. Of course not. Nothing about it. Nothing about it. This is the one day that everybody should just really sit back and go, you know what? Oh, my God. What if it had failed? This was the biggest undertaking, military undertaking, that the world had ever seen. And it happened today, 77 years ago. To stop a radical ideology from dominating the world. And this same England who stormed those beaches. And just imagine those people, those Higgins boats that were made in down in New Orleans that were so vital to this landing. And you've seen Saving Private Ryan, you've seen that. Could you imagine being a 19-year-old kid, 18, 19, 20-year-old kid in this boat, and that, you know, you're heading to the beaches of Normandy, you've got 50 caliber machine gun fire all around you. You see the beach already scattered with dead soldiers who tried to do what you're about to try to do. And yet they did it anyway. They did it anyway. They stormed those beaches. And today was the beginning of the liberation of Europe and breaking the Third Reich. Where are those people anymore? Where is that generation? Have we lost them completely? Have we become so afraid of being labeled racist or Islamophobic or whatever phobic you want to be? Have we become so afraid of that that we won't just simply stand up for what's right in this world anymore? No, we won't. No, no, no. They're not out there. And I've said this before. We see what's going on at all of these college campuses across the country. We've seen what's going on out there at Berkeley. We've seen what's going on in all of these colleges. It amazes me that this country can still turn out Navy SEALs. It really does. It really, really does. And maybe it's just because those folks out there get all the press. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the problem. And what is this, Evergreen University? We'll be talking more about this this wacko institution coming up in just a little bit. But take a little time today. Go online. Read the accounts of what happened 77 years ago today. D-Day. The storming of the beaches of Normandy. It could have failed. It could have failed miserably. But thankfully it didn't. And we are a free world because of it. And it's because of brave men and their families who made such a great sacrifice for people they didn't even know and people who ultimately didn't appreciate it.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.